Good morning, everyone. Sorry for the little delay. I have a rabbi over here who's complaining that I'm late, but he's also late, so it's okay. I'm not going to say his name right now. In any case, Chevra, today we're holding over here. Welcome to the Mashiach and Geula class. We're holding in Parshas Vayera. Before we begin, I want to announce today's class was sponsored by Mr. Michael Pilyavin, Rabbi Mendel, Menachem Mendel Pilyavin. And this is in honor of his mother's yahrzeit, which is today. Miriam Bas Mendel, may her neshama have a very great aliyah to the greatest of heights. And she should be mashpia, channeled down to you and to your mishpacha. Much, much brachas and everything that you need, everything that you want. Some noise over here. Maybe I'll try to mute it again. Okay. So we are holding over here on the story. We concluded the talking about the daughters of Lot. We concluded speaking about the daughters of Lot. And now we are holding by, I'm just going to open up the Imperic in Parshas Vayera. We're holding by the story of Avram and Avimelech, right after it tells us the turning over of Sodom. Now, we had discussed in the earlier classes how Mashiach, the birth of Ammon and Moav is. That's the whole, you know, parent of Mashiach. You can listen for the last 5-6 classes. We've been talking about that. Now, once Mashiach's neshama is already in the world, the Keli, so to speak, we mentioned from Rabbi Levi Yitzchak of Berditchev, we can begin now the process of the beginning of Golus, which to a certain degree is the birth of Yitzchak, because Yitzchak, both physically, the exile begins with Yitzchak's birth. As we know that the 400 years that the Jewish people were supposed to be in exile begins with Yitzchak being born. Spiritually as well, the birth of Yitzchak is the source of Golus, because Yitzchak is Gevura. And Golus, we understand, is a time of Gevuras, a time of divine concealment, of harshness. We suffer a lot of pain and all the elements that come from Gevura. So as long as Avram is the Rebbe, Avram is the Nasi, Avram is the leader, it's only Chesadim, it's only revelation, it's only... And Yitzchak already begins the idea of Gevuras. So when Yitzchak is born, we already start an inyan of Golus. However, as we're going to see, that Yitzchak's birth is Golus, but Yitzchak's birth is also Geula. Because Yitzchak means laughter. And Adarabba, Yitzchak is the most connected, as we're going to see in today's class, to the ultimate redemption. And Chazal tells us that after Mashiach comes, the most dominant of the Avos that we're going to connect to more than all the other Avos is Yitzchak. We're going to say, Ki Yitzchak Ata Avinu. Because Yitzchak means laughter and joy. And when Mashiach comes, it's Az Yamale, Yitzchak Pinu, then our mouths are going to be filled with laughter. So how do we reconcile these two in Yanim? That Yitzchak is both the Golas and Yitzchak is the Geula. And the answer is, because Golas and Geula are really one, intrinsic inyan. It's one essential entity, exile and redemption. It's not like there are two separate things, that God makes an exile, and then eventually he'll bring a geula. There is no other teichen to exile, there's no other content to exile but redemption. The whole inyan of galus is yirida tzarech aliyah. Now, what we really want is to come to an ultimate light, we want to come to an ultimate revelation, we want to come to be able to be recipients of the ultimate laughter. The ultimate laughter means also pleasure, the ultimate pleasure of Yismach Hashem b'maisav, when the Eibishter is going to rejoice. And Yismach Yisrael ba'oisav, Yidna are going to rejoice in God, and God is going to rejoice in us. And the whole world is going to be filled with laughter. It's only that in order to be able to come to be a Keli for this endless and boundless and believable pleasure, so there has to be the hardship and the suffering. So the Gevuras is really in one and in the same, because really, let me go a little deeper than that. We know that Gevura means Tzimtzum. Gevura means, you know, it's the idea of restraining. It's holding back, which is the source of all concealments and all blockages. is when the light is being constrained, it's being held back. But in Chassidus, it explains that really, so what's really the origins of Gevura? According to this, would seem to say that God has in Himself two sides. He has a side to give, and he has an element not to give. So, like, the side of giving is a nice side, and the side of not giving is not a nice side. So how can God be both nice and not nice? I mean, obviously, He can be anything, but what's the idea? I mean, from the Eibishter doesn't come out any not niceness. It's kulay toy v'chesed. And Chassidus explains that Gevura, in its quintessential form, Gevura is not, chas v'shalom, not giving. Gevura, as it is in its original form, is giving, but intense giving. There's two types of giving. There is a more mellow kind of giving, where you give because, you know, you like to give and you like to share. And then there is a time when the excitement of your giving is so intense and it's so powerful, and that you want to give everything. You love someone so much, you want to give them your everything. And that's Gevura in its original source. In its quintessential origins, Gevura is called Tagburois HaChesed. It's the intensity of kindness. It's giving in its most original at the very core. It's giving, betachlis of giving, with the intensity of giving on the highest level of giving, not stam giving. Nor, so how does this Gevura of Tagburois HaChesed, of giving, how does it then later become a source of holding back? It's very simple. When one wants to give with a boundless giving, but the recipient is not ready to receive such a boundless giving, and as a result of that, you're going to completely destroy the recipient by giving them such hashpa, such light. A teacher wants to teach their student all the knowledge they have, everything. He's so excited. But the student is not ready. It's a student with an immature mind. He's a little child, or it can be an adult child, but someone who has not yet learned and not understood anything. So if the teacher is going to overload the student, he's going to cause the student's brain to burst, and the student is going to run away and never going to come back again. So what we call in Chassidus, it's going to happen, a shviras hakelim, a shattering of the vessels. Or like it says, when Yaakov Avinu, when they wanted to tell Yaakov that Yosef was still alive, they were afraid that they were going to give him the Besura Taiva, that Yosef was alive in one shot. It's going to cause the goodness to be so powerful and so strong that he's going to have a heart attack, chas v'shal. So what they did was, they had Sarah come and sing a song and slowly break the news to him. So you see that you know, too much good can cause a marble of goodness. You can't facilitate the intense goodness. So therefore, since Gevura is at its origins, not stam giving, and it won, but then the recipient is not a keli. So as a result of that, the Gevura says, holds back not to give. So the non-giving of Gevura and the concealment is only because at the core I want to get bought. So you know what? Don't give a lot, give a little bit. Why do you have to hold back? Why do you have to conceal? The answer is, I'll hear this a little deeper. Gevura, because it wants to give everything, it doesn't want to compromise. It doesn't want to say, you know what? I'm going to give you a crumb. It's insisting on giving it all because it understands that the giving of the little is nothing. It wants to give everything. But it can't, so it doesn't give. Oh, but then what did you gain? You're not giving anything. Total darkness, not giving. The answer is, the darkness itself causes the mekabel to go through its hardship and its concealments, and it causes the mekabel, the recipient, to stretch, to open up, to become thirsty. The more thirsty you become for light, the more you expand your kelim, the more you expand your vessels. So ultimately, from the concealment, so the concealment is not like, okay, if I can't give, so we're going to go, I'm going to conceal. So let's go back. The initiation of Gevura in its quintessential source is giving and giving everything. Tagburis achesed, wanting to give it all. But then when it can't give it all, it contracts. And it conceals, and it doesn't give. But even that not giving or not giving has an intention, because that too is part of the process of how I can give you everything. And eventually I'm going to give you everything. And that's the idea. That's why we say like this. When the Eibishter has an idea to bring Yitzchak into this world, what does Yitzchak into this world mean? To bring ultimate pleasure into this world. to bring ultimate laughter into this world. He wants to pour that laughter into the world, but he can't, because the world will be destroyed in that laughter. So what does he have to do? He has to hold it back. Comes Golus from Yitzchak's birth. You see how Yitzchak is born, Yitzchak is the ultimate laughter, but the very birth of Yitzchak begins Golus. Begins a time of concealment and hardship and avodas perach, working, backbreaking labor in Mitzrayim. It's all eventually to bring us to Har Sinai for the Gilui of this week's parsha, Anochi Hashem Elokecha, as a result of the Golus itself. So that's the kind of the dichotomy of Yitzchak, the contradiction of Yitzchak, both in Yon. So now let's go back just to the sequence of events. Avram, we spoke earlier, is the first one who begins to rectify the world and to prepare the world for Yemos HaMashiach. The Chazal say that the world is 6,000 years that it exists. 2,000 years of chaos, 2,000 years of Torah, and 2,000 years of Yemos HaMashiach. What does it mean? We spoke already once earlier. The 2,000 years of the mess, of Toyu, that's the mess. The Sava Kodesh Baruch Hu Liyis Loi Dira B'Tachtoinim. Hashem wants to have a dwelling place in the low. So the world has to be a dark, difficult, harsh place. That's the 2,000 years of the world being impacted by it being a lowly world. Then begins 2,000 years of Torah. The 2,000 years of Torah is what's going to take this lowly world and make it into a home so the Eibishter can reveal himself in it. So 2,000 years of the world of Torah is really Tikkun Olam. The Tikkun of the world is through the Torah. Avram begins the Tikkun Olam so that we can eventually come for the revelation of the Eibishter in Yemos HaMashiach in the last 2,000 years. Okay, which the question is, of course, we're so long already into the 2,000 years of Mashiach, and you know, where's Mashiach? Good. That's a question that I don't have to answer. Let the Eibishter answer that question. But in other words, so since Avram Avinu is the one who begins the avodah of the tikkun of the world, so there is two stages. Stage number one is that Avram has to break through, has to discover God in this dark world. That's the whole avodah, to discover the Eibishter in this world, and that he does. And he has to sanctify every limb and every organ of his body to become a total facility, a total keli, a total mishkan, a total heichal for the Eibishter. Avram Avinu's body was sanctified to the ultimate of Kedusha, of holiness. That's why Avraham means Aver Ma. He is the Aver, he is the limb, he is the expressor of Ma. Ma is Yudke Vavke. The gematria of the tetragrammaton of Yudke Vavke, which is one of the names, is Yudke Vavke, is gematria of 45. If you do the Milui, the Miluyim of Shema Vaya with a Milui of Aleph, you get 45. So Avram is the Aver. His body becomes a total conduit. He becomes the ultimate Merkava to the Eibishter. He reaches the ultimate perfection of this state when he has his Bris Milah. When Avram finally has his Bris Milah, which he removes the Orla, he removes the Klippa, he removes the last barrier that is blocking from allowing godliness to be fully, fully manifest in his body. The full revelation of the Eibishter is because of the Orla that's still there. Avram Avinu peels away the Orla. And when Avram Avinu peeled away the Orla, what happened to him is that he reached the Messianic state. He reached finally the state, Benegayet himself, because his Avodah is Tikkun Olam, to fix the world. Avram begins Torah. Avram Hischel Eir begins. And we know the rule is Kshayt Atzmacha V'achar Kach Kshayt Acherim. First purify yourself, and then you can fix others. That's the general rule. So therefore, Avram has to first be the prototype of Mashiach. He has to be the example of a human being who becomes utterly transparent to God. He becomes a Mashiachtig entity. He's living already Mashiachtig light. In the days of Mashiach, Avram arrives at that place. He is already in that state when he's 100 years old. He reaches the utmost perfection of Yemos HaMashiach. And therefore, what happens right after his Bris Milah and Parshas Lech Lecha? What happens after Avram's Bris Milah? Parshas Vayera begins with Vayera Elav Hashem. The Eibishter reveals himself to Avram Avinu. What kind of revelation is there to Avram Avinu in a matter of Kechoyim Ayoyim, the heat of the day? The heat of the day is referring to when it says that Hashem, Mashiach is going to come, Hashem is going to remove the sheaf off the sun, and the sun is going to shine with all of its intense brightness. So we're talking about Gilui Alakus without any more concealments.
So Avram Avinu reaches it already. Vayeda Elav Hashem, Havaya is revealed to him. He's living, he's basking in Yamos HaMashiach. And it's that time when the Malachim come to him and tell him that he's going to have a child, Yitzchak. In other words, Mashiach. Yitzchak is Mashiach's light. However, the Avoida now is, he tak arrived at Yamos HaMashiach. But Avram has a big task in front of him to make the entire world catch up to him, to where he is at. For that, the Eibishter is going to give Torah and mitzvahs. And for that, we're going to plow our way throughout history, 3,500 years of history in which we are all doing what Avram Avinu did, peeling away the arla, peeling away the foreskin and revealing godliness in this world. That's all of our avoda. To extend Avram's covenant, so to speak, the attachment that he has with the Eibishter, the Vayera Elav Hashem, to the entire world, to all of existence, to every nook and cranny of creation. That avoda begins with Avram's children, with Yitzchak. Yitzchak is the first Jew to be born a Jew. And as we said now, how is the avoda going to come? It's going to come about as a result. How's it going to happen? It's going to have, as we said, the duality of Yitzchak. First, there is going to be pain. There is going to be concealments. There's going to be darkness, which comes from the gevurais of Yitzchak, from the concealments of Yitzchak, from the harshness of Yitzchak. There's going to be gullus. And then from the gullus itself, the pnimius of this, of these concealments, of these blockages, is to ultimately bring about the revelation. And that's why it says, Benegei to Yitzchak, its mamash says clearly, it says, Tzchoik, what does Sarah say when Yitzchak is born? She says, Tzchoik asali Elokim, that laughter came to me from Elokim, which is very strange. If anything, it should be tzchoik, laughter, pleasure, delight, simcha, joy. Tzchoik asali havaya. Yudke vavke, that's God, that we know is chesed, revelation. Tzchoik asali Elokim, Elokim is concealment. Elokim causes pain, suffering, tears, agony. That's what Elokim causes. It's all the concealments. How can it be? And we know in Mitzrayim, for instance, we know that the last 86 years from when Miriam was born, Miriam was 6 years older than Moshe Rabbeinu. The shir is dedicated to a woman called Miriam, so it's a thing to talk about Miriam. In any case, Miriam was 6 years older than Moshe. Aaron was 3 years older than Moshe Rabbeinu, and Miriam was another 3 years above that. So now, and it says, why was she called Miriam? Because when she was born, it became extremely bitter for the Jewish people. Now, Moshe Rabbeinu was 80 years old when the Jews went out of Egypt. That means that Miriam was 86 years old when the Jews went out of Egypt. That means that the worst period of suffering the Jewish people had was from when Miriam was born. Miriam meaning Merirus, bitterness. And how many years? That 86 years. Why 86? Because Elokim is gematria exactly 86. And Elokim is judgments. So it's Elokim, all the... And here we're saying, Tzchoik asali Elokim. Elokim makes laughter. So how does it work? How can it be? And the answer is the same. That's what we're saying. This chas v'shalom for the Eibishter to cause pain and suffering for someone. Why would God create a world with so much suffering? Especially a gullus. And the answer is, the gullus itself is tzchoik, is laughter, because eventually from the Elokim, from the concealments and from the blockages will come, it causes us to become, I mean, it doesn't make any sense to us, so we cry out Masai, but it causes us to become such kelim, such terat for the real tzchoik, for the real laughter. So in Yitzchak itself, you have the Indian tzchoik, the laughter of Yitzchak is from the Elokim. So that's why Yitzchak is going to be born now. And a chapter of Golus is going to start. And the avoida of Golus is to be mezachech, to bring a zichuch, a purification in the darkness itself. And that's what we call the avoida of Birur Hanitzutzis. We go into the dark places of the world, beginning with Mitzrayim, that had buried treasures of godly sparks of holiness, which is the source of the geula, of the redemption. And the same is also as we continue through the Goluses of all the various different nations, as we're going through into the darkness of Yitzchak, into the concealments, to what? To find the treasures, the sparks of holiness that we extract. We do the avoda in the darkness, and then from the darkness itself comes the greatest light. So now, So therefore, I just want to give a little bit of a kind of a direction in how Mashiach is developing over here. See, once Avram had his bris milah, since one person already arrived to Yemoisa Mashiach, he arrived to that great light, Mashiach had to be brought into this world. That's why you have the story of the daughters of Lot giving birth to a child, because they brought Mashiach's neshama. The moment they had relations with their father, we spoke about this earlier, why it had to come in this way, Mashiach is already in this world. Moav is born. Once that's there, once we have already the refuah, we have the healing, we have the ultimate redeemer, now we can begin the process of tikkun olam, of going into galus. Yitzchak can be born, the suffering can start, all the hardships, and we can bring about eventually the ultimate laughter of Yitzchak for the entire world. So that's going to be the next story. In order for Yitzchak to be born, there had to be a mini galus take place right now. Because since the Yitzchak's whole inyan is the laughter of Mashiach, and he said it earlier, and b'chitzainius, externally, Yitzchak is galus, because Yitzchak has the element of harshness, of gevuras to him. The pnimius Yitzchak is the ultimate geula and laughter of Yemoisa Mashiach. So before Yitzchak can be born, there had to be, in order to bring this laughter into the world, to bring Yitzchak into the world, the oir of Mashiach, the light of Mashiach into the world, there had to be mamish, b'negeya to the birth of Yitzchak, this inyan of a galus. Of a galus. Because the laughter can only be created from our avoda in the galus. So what was the galus that happened? So the story that happens right now is a story of the abduction of Sarah, not to Paroi, but this is Sarah's second abduction. Sarah is being abducted by Avimelech. She goes into exile. As we know, that Sarah is the embodiment of all Jewish souls. Why is Sarah the embodiment of all Jewish souls? Because Sarah is the Shechina. Bechlal, all the female characters that we learn in the Torah about, of course I'm talking about Tzidkaniyos, are all in Malchus, because female is always Malchus. Sarah, of course, is the Shechina, she's Malchus. We once spoke about this, it's Sarah is Malchus, Rivka is Malchus, Rachel and Leah are Malchus, Esther is Malchus, Devoira is Malchus, Anavia, everybody, Miriam is Malchus, they're all Malchus. How come so many? Chana is Malchus, mother of Shmuel. The answer is, how can you have so many people personifying Malchus? The answer is, Malchus is a complex sphera with different nuances, just like every sphera has different aspects. For instance, in Malchus there is Keser Malchus, in Malchus there is Chachma of Malchus, the Bina of Malchus. So each one of these tzidkaniyos throughout history, they're all the various different aspects of Malchus. Sarah is the highest element of Malchus. Sarah means sar, minister. She's a governess. In Kabbalah it says that Sarah is keser Malchus. She's the crown of Malchus. Anyways, so if Sarah is Malchus, that means she's the Shechina. Shechina is Malchus. That means all Jewish souls are all part of her. When Sarah gets abducted by Avimelech, it means it's another form of Golos HaShechina. The Shechina is going into exile. Why did this have to happen right before Yitzchak is born? Because it's a very strange story. The Eibishter is in charge of the world. And sometimes you wonder why God is always shooting himself in the leg. He's always doing things that create such problems. And you wonder, why is he doing that? Why is he acting that way? You realize the Eibishter is going to pull off now the most spectacular stunt. A man and a woman who... I'm going to tell him to be a little lower, because... a man and a woman Sorry, just a minute. It was just someone that was davening with such hislavos over here that he was distracting me. Any case, a man and a woman who were God's agent in this world, God ambassadors in this world, this man and woman who were, the Eibishter promised them they're going to have children. They didn't have any children. They were already 100 years old. God wants to show the whole world that he keeps his promise and that Hashem is beyond nature. And the miracles of miracles happens. We're soon going to see that Sarah not only was Sarah didn't she have children, but Sarah was not even capable of, she didn't even have a womb. She did not have a womb. She couldn't have a child. That's why it says in this pasuk, when a few psukim from now, it says when Sarah has a child, it says Vayas Hashem l'Sarah. Hashem made her. What is the lashon? He made. He made her a womb. He made her a womb that she didn't have. She suddenly grew a womb. She didn't even have it. So it was impossible. The Eibishter is doing. Now you would expect that when Hashem is doing a miracle, he's going to do it in a way that everybody should yachat kulam hoydu v'imlichu v'yamru. The whole world should be able to praise and say, Hashem yimlech li'olam vad, God is the master, Hashem does. What does the Eibishter do? A madness thing, a crazy thing. He has Avimelech abduct Sarah and take her into his palace. He doesn't touch her. He wants to touch her. He doesn't. Hashem brings a malach to come and stop him from doing it. Sarah is returned back home. And a few months later, and just immediately after that, Sarah becomes pregnant. And after that, Yitzchak is born. And what's the situation? Avram is living with Sarah for 90 years, and there's no children. Whatever, for how many years they were living, there was no children. Finally, she goes one night to Avimelech. She's pregnant. So what did that do? So Rashi says clearly, the Litzanei Hador, the scoffers, the tabloids, and all that, were filled with what? Well, but who is Sarah pregnant from? From Avimelech. So you say, God, you're finally doing a miracle. Why do you have to do it in a way that puts a doubt and that people can make fun? It doesn't make any sense. The whole thing is so ridiculous. And the answer is, and this is teaching you this idea that we said, Yitzchak's neshama to come into the world, Yitzchak is the ultimate, Tzemach Tzedek says this, he says the ultimate laughter is Yitzchak. Yitzchak is the oir of Mashiach. Yitzchak is the light of Mashiach. For this light to come into the world, it can only come into the world through the Avodah in the time of Golas. Just like Yitzchak himself, his name represents both Golas and Geula, so to bringing him into the world had to come through an inyan where there was an Avodah in the darkness. Sarah, who is the Shechinah, who is our neshamas, she's the embodiment of our souls, is taken into captivity, which is the same idea of Jews being captive in a nation. What happens when we're in Golas? There is all forms of seduction. That's the whole idea of Golas. Besides the tsaris, besides persecutions that Jewish people have during exile, it's a time when we are all kinds of distractions and all kinds of seductions to try to seduce us away from the Eibishter. That's what Avimelech is doing. He's trying to pull Sarah away from her true mashpia. See, a woman is a makabel. A woman is a recipient. Her husband is her mashpia. Okay? Who is the mashpia? Who is the influencer? Who is the one who's giving energy to Sarah? Who's giving her? It's Avram Avim. Sarah is taken into captivity. What does that mean? She's being taken into a place where she's going to be tempted, so to speak, by another mashpia. That's the concept of a zayna. A prostitute is someone, a woman is called a zayna. The real meaning of a zayna really means is a woman who's married, who goes with another man. So when a Jew is going into Golas, and a Jew is supposed to have all of his pleasure and all of his delight is supposed to come from Hashem. Hashem is our husband. And that's where our pleasure has to come from, and our delight has to come from our union with God. And it's not. And by the way, the Kabbalists tell us that when you're learning Torah and when you're doing a mitzvah, it's actual an intimacy, the same like a physical intimacy. And if we would be sensitive, and if we would be soul sensitive, if we're gonna, like after Mashiach comes, we're going to feel in every mitzvah. It's mamish, an experience of unbelievable ecstasy and delight because your neshama is unifying with the Eibishter. It's a zivug, it's a yichud, it's an unbelievable union. It's an incredible union. Narva's dead, but when we go to Golas, what happens? We don't see the pleasure in the divine and other things in this world. The pleasures of klipa try to try to make its way. Avimelech is trying to have relations with Sarah. He's trying to be a mashpia into her. But we know that he didn't touch her. He took her into his palace, but he didn't touch her. What does that mean? That when Jews are in exile, we fend off and we fight off all these external influences. I will say we don't. And many times we fall through with all kinds of inyanim in which chas v'shalom, a yid is becoming a mushpa, so to speak, is receiving pleasure and delight from unholy things. So we know that that's not pipnimius. Because even when a yid does an avera, his deep inside, he's not involved in it. His neshama is crying. He rejects it. He doesn't like it. So even if chas v'shalom, you're taken into the house of Avimelech, but he doesn't touch her, which means her inner nekuda, her inner point is never abused. And as a result of the tshuva that we do, and as a result of be'ikr through shmiras of Torah and mitzvahs, the observance of Torah and mitzvahs, when we are surrounded by all temptation all over the world, what we do is we do a birur of nitzutzis. We actually take out the sparks of holiness that are buried by Avimelech, and by all the Avimelechs of the world, by the pharaohs and the Avimelechs of the world, those sparks of holiness become, hear this, they become the feminine waters called Halo Asman, the feminine waters, that we have to take these sparks, we have to connect them to God, and when we elevate them, that brings down the Mayan Duchrin, the masculine waters of the birth of Yitzchak. In other words, let me explain this like this. It says that in every union, right, there is a child is born, it's born from the husband. The man is being mashpia to the wife, his seed, so to speak, and then the child is born. But it says there has to be a serusa delatata. Serusa delatata means there has to be an inspiration coming from the woman. The woman has to kind of excite her husband that he should be mashpia. What's the halas, what's called the race. So with us and Hashem, it's the same thing. To bring down Ashpa from above, we have to take something from our existence, surrender it to the Eibishter. In order to have Yitzchak's neshama come into the world, which Yitzchak is the future revelations of Mashiach, how do we create that? It's through the sparks of holiness that we elevated during Golas. That's the idea that Tzemach Tzedek says. Sarah has to go into captivity. And over there, not be touched by Avimelech. Quite on the contrary, she's what does it say when she left Avimelech's house? That Avimelech gave her a bunch of wealth. She takes everything out of him. He's not giving her anything. In essence, meaning he's not contaminating her. But he's forced to give her his treasures. She brings it to Avram. And then Avram can be mashpia to her, the soul of Yitzchak. So this is why it's an amazing story. It's not Stama's story. For Yitzchak to come into the world, the Torah is telling us this whole story of Sarah and Avimelech, the Shechina goes into exile. She does the Avodah of Birur HaNitzutzis during the time when she's in the exile. That serves as the right, as the extraction and the feminine water that she's going to elevate to the Eibishter. And in this case, she's going to bring it to Avram. And then she can become pregnant. Before that, it's not Shayach, the pregnancy. So it wasn't Stam, like, why is the Eibishter doing it? Couldn't have it any other way. The Gilui Oyer can only come through a struggle. It can only come through this. And that's the content, the deeper content that we learn over here. How Avram goes to Avimelech, and Avimelech takes Sarah, and the whole story. The interesting thing is that in the end it says that Avram Avinu davened for Avimelech, because Hashem brought a plague on Avimelech's house, and they all became constipated. They couldn't give birth, meaning they couldn't express, they couldn't nothing, right? So what happened after that was, they had Avram davened for Avimelech, Vayirpa Lekimes Avimelech, and Hashem healed Avimelech, and his Avimelech, Ves Ishta Avimelech, and his wife, Vamo Oisav, and his maidservants, Vayaledu, and they gave birth. So interesting, this idea that Avram davened for Avimelech, in the end, after he gave back Sarah, and Avimelech gave birth, and they were able to, meaning they were relieved from their plague, It's interesting. It says in a sefer from the Kamarna Rebbe, who's a great Kabbalist, says that too is related to the healing of Avimelech and his wife. Even though we said before Avimelech is the bad guy, but it also has an interpretation for something really high, because Avimelech is in the origins of origins represents also something very godly. Avimelech and his wife refer to the aspect of Havaya and Elohim. Avimelech means the father of Malchus. Father of Malchus is Chachma, that's Yud Kei Vav Kei. His wife is the name of Aleph Dalet Nun Yud, or the name of Elohim. Okay, because the masculine side of God is called Havaya, and the feminine side of God is called Adna, or Elohim. And he says an interesting thing. During the time of Golos, there are no Yechudim taking place. There's no unions taking place in the supernal worlds. There's a separation. That's why we say, on Tisha B'Av, we say, Haisa Kalmana, that the Shechina, the Jewish people, are like a widow. A widow is someone whose husband has left her. And the Chazal say, not like a husband who died, but like a... not like a woman whose husband died, but like a woman whose husband has gone away for business. He's gone over the sea. He's gone overseas, and she's alone. So, what does that mean? That there's no yichud between HaKadosh Baruch Hu and the Shechina during the time of Golos. There is a separation. But when Mashiach comes, what happens? The ultimate Geula is that Vayirpa Elokim es Avimelech. That when Avram davens, it brings a refuah for Avimelech and his wife, which means it allows for this union between Avimelech and his wife, between Havaya and Elohim, Vaya Leidu, and they give birth, is referring to the new neshamis that are going to be born after Mashiach comes. Because after Mashiach comes, it says they're going to be new neshamis, neshamis chadashis, coming to the world. All right, I'm going to make the shir today is a little bit shorter. We're going to conclude with this. And Be'ezras Hashem, next week, Thursday, we're going to continue. And there is amazing in Yanim, unbelievable things coming up in the idea of the actual birth of Yitzchak by Hashem Pakad Esara. Be'ezras Hashem, we're going to leave it for the upcoming class and a week from now on Thursday morning. Please join us on Thursday at 11:15. And please notify friends and people about this class. Again, 11:15 every Thursday. We should merit already to see the ultimate Leida of Yitzchak, of Tzchaik Asa Li'alukim. May it happen now.